Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 8 January 2024. Welcome to the next broadcast. I was so glad you're with us, and I do sincerely mean that. And we're going to bring up our guest in a minute. We're going to talk to Jacob Hornberger. Now, we're going to tell you about him in a minute and what he does and the article he wrote entitled, We Were Soldiers, Who Supposedly Died for Our Country. Now, we're going to discuss this, folks. We're going to discuss a lot of things and how our youth, and I was a youth one time, too, were deceived in believing lies that we were doing things for the glory of God and for our country. I mean, we'll discuss that in a minute. Before I forget it, if everything goes right this weekend, although they're calling for another winter blast this coming weekend, we're going to have Bible study. We tried to this past Saturday. As you know, we got snowed and rained and freezing rain out, and so I didn't get the Bible study. So Phil played some of her old studies, and they were very good. They're available if you want to watch them on the internet, about anywhere you want to go. When there were PastorButch.com is on there. Pastor Butch is on there. You can find it. Just type in my name. We'll do our best this coming weekend to try again. Now, if you do a Bible study, you can watch us live. We can also watch recordings there also on Rumble. But you can watch us live by going to PastorButch.com and clicking on Rumble. Great big red letters there, R-U-M-B-L-E, right there about a third of the way down the page. At 10:30 a.m. Eastern, we will be live with prayer requests, praise reports. 11:30 a.m., we go into Christian Worldview News. And from 1 to 2, we go into Bible study. And I want so badly to bring this lesson forth. I really do. This past weekend didn't work out. This weekend right now, according to the weather, doesn't look well either. We're going to try it anyway. So if you can join us, please do. And don't forget, we're offering you about 60 pages, I think 57 pages, of information on why the 1611 KJV is the preserved Bible in the English language. I prove it, folks. I got the proof. I wouldn't say it. I'm going to give you enough documentation to prove it to anybody if they want to hear the truth. The lie about King James being a homosexual was a damnable lie, spread after his death to dishonor the man. It's all a lie. But nonetheless, we offer this packet, folks. That's a donation of $20. It costs between $6 to $9 to mail this thing. Depends where mailed to. We ship one to California. The cost is really high. It's about almost 60 pages long. If you want it, all you have to do is call and ask for it at 800-777-4403. Or 304-846-4448. If you have long distance, that'll save us money, folks. If you call 304-846-4448, well, I hope you get it. I hope that you'll get it and share with your friends. That's what the whole idea is. We want to get the truth out there. And if you'll help us, for those of you that receive our Minuteman magazine by email, and folks, it's available to you for free via email. All you have to do is email me and say, I want it. Email me at Pastor Butch at startmail.com. PastorButch at startmail.com. We'll put you on a monthly Minuteman magazine list. It's always 50 to 60 pages long or more of information that you can print off and use to teach your friends what's happening in the world around the country. And I hope that you'll do that. It's totally free to you. All we ask is if you like it, share it with all your list also. We can reach tens of thousands and millions of people if we'd all work together at this. Okay, we really could. Again, 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. If you want information on the why we use KJV, if you want to order anything we offer through the ministry, whether it be Vitamir products, toothpaste, mouthwash, whatever, Strauss products, we have all these available, folks, and the books, materials we offer. You can see it in our catalog. Go online on pastorbush.com and find catalog. Look on there. But it's there because we want to bless you if we can. We truly do. And if you want to receive our teachings on DVD or CD, we're seeing out 4 hours a month, folks. We ask the donation of $15. That does barely cover the cost of the DVD or CD, the making of it and shipping it. That's all. We're not trying to make a profit on that at all. That covers the cost. So if you want to receive our teachings, Bible studies, and not afraid to hear the truth, it's available to you to watch on your own TV or listen on your CD player for $15 a month. I recommend DVD because we do show a lot of videos along with this. But our guest tonight, like I said, is Jacob Hornberger. He wrote an article that caught my eye, and I read it online some time back. We were soldiers who supposedly died for our country. And in the article, he mentioned a movie that starred Mel Gibson entitled We Were Soldiers. Mel Gibson's dad, Hutton, and I were good friends at one time. We knew each other for quite a few years. And he shared a lot of things about Mel and some of the things in the background that he knew. Mel made some movies in the past that were really good, like Conspiracy Theory was a good movie. All real stuff that he knew about that the public just didn't know existed. But this movie, We Were Soldiers, tells the story of a battle fought in Vietnam in the Drang Valley, I guess you'd call it, a few years before I went into military. It tells the story of young men dying on the battlefield thinking they were fighting for our freedoms back home in America. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Jacob, are you there?
Yes, sir.
It is good to have you, my friend, and thank you for writing that article. Before getting this, though, tell the folks who Jake Hornberger is and how you got involved in all this.
All right, well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on your show.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it. I grew up in Laredo, Texas, which is located on the U.S.-Mexico border. Grew up on a farm on the Rio Grande. And went off to college at Virginia Military Institute and then to law school at the University of Texas. And then I practiced law back in Laredo in partnership with my father for several years and also taught in law and economics at the University of Dallas. I later moved to Dallas and practiced law there. But after 12 years of practicing law, I was offered a job with an organization called the Foundation for Economic Education in New York. And I decided to take leave of the law practice and go into the think tank world or educational foundation world. So I moved to New York. And then 2 years later, in 1989, I founded my own educational foundation called the Future of Freedom Foundation. And our mission has always been, for 34 years or so, to present the principled case for the libertarian philosophy or the free society. And part of that is the subject that you brought up, is we are committed to restoring a limited government republic to our land, which is our founding governmental system, and getting rid of what we call the national security state type of governmental system, which was pretty much responsible for getting us into the Vietnam War, as well as all these other horrific wars and interventions that we've been involved in for the last 50 years minimum.
Well, it sounded to me like you bit off a whole lot to chew a lot there. That's a lot of air you cover there, everything from being a lawyer now into what you're doing now. That's quite a step, and that's quite a step of faith also. I'm sure that in the law practice you would have made a very good living. So you stepped out on faith trying to do this the right way, didn't you?
Well, it's interesting you use that expression because that was really when I got offered that job. I liked practicing law as a litigator, and, yeah, I had a chance to make a lot of money. But, I remember faced with this choice, what should I do? And then a big out-of-town firm that was open in the Dallas office was talking to me about being a managing partner in their firm and managing their Dallas office. And so I went to the beach and I did a lot of soul searching and prayer and I asked God for guidance for, like, what should I do here, Lord? This is the turning point in my life. I'd been wanting to be a lawyer since I was a kid, but my heart was with libertarianism. I knew that was where God was leading me. So the answer was clear. You go where your heart is. Don't think about the money. God will take care of you. And so that's what caused me to make that big turning point. And I'm really pleased with the decision I made. I'm just really happy, and God has showered his blessings on me and taken care of me, and I'm in fine shape. So I'm very grateful for my blessings.
Well, you know, all the time we heard this, and I'm sure it's taught when I was growing up too, but I don't remember as much as we hear today, about America and the kind of government we have, and they call it democracy. What a hateful word that is. I didn't understand that for years. But the word democracy is about the most hateful government that any man could ask for on this earth. We were a republic. Now we have become a socialist democracy. There's no point denying that. We have. We've become that very, very greatly that way because we trust a man for everything we have. And we put our trust in, and this is all part of brainwashing. Jacob, I know you see this. This taught to me all through school. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't care for our country, but when you're taught our country right or wrong, you're being taught the wrong thing. It's our country when they're doing what's right, where you defend it and stand for it. When it's doing what's wrong, we can no longer stand against it if we're a child of God. We can no longer stand with it. We have to stand against it. If we stand with the government that's murdering babies, sodomizing their sons, perverting their daughters, taking young men and women off to be killed in foreign wars, we're not doing the will of God. I know people want to hear that. I did for years. I thought I was doing the right thing. I did. I thought I really knew what I was doing. But then I realized it's actually worshiping the state. That's why one of the chapters in one of the books I wrote was entitled Patriotic Idolatry. I turned from God to worship man because man was who I thought was absolutely right. America could do no wrong. How naive I was, Jacob, how naive I was.
Well, it's how naive all of us are. I mean, we're all subject to this system of public, i.e. government schooling. It's a state program. It's all based on indoctrination and regimentation and molding our minds to essentially worship the state, to look at the government as a god. And so even Christians, they won't admit this, but many of them have two gods. One's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The other one is the state, the government. And they feel the government can do no wrong, and they put their faith in the government. And, it's interesting to hear you talk about the country and government. I draw a distinction between the government and the country because these are two separate entities. And the best proof of that is that the Bill of Rights protects the country from the government, from the federal government. And so that proves that they're two separate entities. And the problem is that our government started out, as you pointed out, as a republic. The word democracy is not even in the Constitution because the Founding Fathers understood that democracy can be a great destroyer of freedom. That's why you have the Bill of Rights to protect us from democracy. So we started out as a republic, which was a very good type of governmental system. The government's powers were very limited, wasn't perfect because we're never going to achieve perfection on Earth, but it was a good system, was transparent, didn't involve us in all these big coups and assassinations and foreign wars and interventions because it didn't have the power to do that, and the Constitution limited its powers. But once everything changed in the Roosevelt administration to a welfare state with socialist programs like Social Security and Medicare and all the other socialist programs, and then a national security state after World War II, everything became perverted. And what's horrific is that people believe this is freedom, Pastor. I mean, my favorite quote of all the quotes I've ever come across is by Johann Goethe, because it perfectly captures the plight of the American people. None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free.
Yes, that's very true. And I've read that quote many times, even in Bible studies, trying to show people this. You're right. We once had a society set up, a system set up, where people are allowed to govern themselves without intervention, very little intervention, unless you broke a moral law or a common law, what we call it. you were allowed to work and do as you pleased. But we started, even back before Roosevelt, 1867, the feds took over the South, and they called them carpetbaggers, went in and disrupted the South and took away even their own self-government in the South, and it grew from there. We let this federal juggernaut grow to the point now that it controls everything that we do, whether we're citizens of a state, but now they can control the states. At one time, the states controlled the feds. But now we see us being brainwashed on every level, much worse than it was when I was growing up, Jacob. I mean, now we have children being brainwashed into thinking they can be the sex they want to be. They've been brainwashed into thinking that they come from monkeys or evolved from some slime pit somewhere. This is all part of the plan to dehumanize, take away the character of mankind, and even beyond that, to cause division in this country so that we're more easily controlled. And you know as well as I know, we're divided in factions now to the point that's destroying our country. Is that not true?
Well, the way I look at it is we're all just serfs now. That's true. The way our nation founded, removing slavery, because we know that was a horrific violation of liberty, but for everybody else, there was a self-governance. You got to keep everything you earned. There wasn't an income tax. There was no Federal Reserve to destroy people's money. Gold and silver was the official money of the United States. I mean, you governed your own life. You made your own money. You decided who to help out on a voluntary basis. All charity was voluntary. And the government was the servant, and the American was the master. Everything's been turned upside down now. We are the serfs. We serve the state. So when the state says we've got a war in Vietnam that thousands of miles away, you will fight for this war whether you like it or not, and that's what the draft was all about in conscription, we obey. I mean, not everybody obeyed, but most people obeyed because we've been indoctrinated into believing
that's true.
We are the servants of the state. We have to serve them. They don't serve us.
Well, you know, I was doctrinated, and my dad was a World War II veteran, wounded, and also a prisoner of war. He was conned into war like I was going into during the Vietnam era, and I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I'd defend my country, stand up for the truth. But, you know, you've heard of Thomas Sowell, I'm sure. Thomas Sowell said this: it takes considerable knowledge just to realize the extent of your own ignorance. That's what I had to come to the understanding of. When I started understanding the extent of my own ignorance, I started getting my eyes open to the truth, and now I see the lies that I fell for and believed in for many years. And I have to be quite honest with you, Jacob, it was hard for me to accept the fact that I've been deceived so thoroughly, not just by the public fool system, but by my own family, because they've been deceived. They taught deception because they didn't know any better. So once you start teaching deception and get passed down from generation to generation, it gets deeper and deeper and more thorough. And it controls more and more people, does it not?
Absolutely. It's a generational problem. And I had the same experience. I mean, I grew up convinced that I lived in a free society. Just convinced. I mean, I'd been indoctrinated, the Pledge of Allegiance every morning with freedom, liberty, and justice for all. And But the day that I discovered the libertarian philosophy, it was a road to Damascus experience for me. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I could see the inches thick layer of indoctrination that was encasing my mind just cracking apart. And now I was dealing with reality. I said, this is not freedom at all. And so now, you know, I have a grip on reality. I mean, when I see, like, all these kids committing suicide, the first thing that enters my mind is, you know, they think this is the best there is. They think this is a free society. If they knew the truth, would they be committing suicide? I'm not so sure.
Well, when you're taught from the time you're born, you go to the public fool system, they're taught there is no God, that you're just an accident, you're only here for a certain amount of time, and you die, there's nothing after that. You just live for the day and don't worry about tomorrow. It's no wonder they become discouraged. If this is the best they got, no wonder they want to do drugs. No wonder they want to get involved in all kinds of illicit immorality. No matter, because they have nowhere else to go. This is it, Jacob. For those that don't know Christ or not born again, this is all there is. There's nothing else. They don't believe in hell. Don't believe in heaven. So what's the purpose of life? You live to get what you want. So what if you destroy a few lives along the way? So what if you want to be a change your sex? So what if you want to rape a child? What difference does it make? Once you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing to look forward to. No judgment. No reason to live. They look for eternity. So we destroyed that in the young people. They no longer even believe there is a God, a lot of them. So now we're seeing the nation literally fall apart at the seams morally. And I'm not real sure when you say libertarian. I'm not a libertarian per se. I'm a very strong worldview Christian, world-minded Christian, I say today, right? I look at the world through a Christian's eyes. So I believe in everything that's moral and right according to God's word. And I think you and I agree on most of these things. We've sold our souls, so to speak, our lives and our children's lives for a bowl of porridge from the government, did we not?
Absolutely. And when I say that I'm a libertarian, that doesn't preclude me from being a Christian, because I am a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a devout Catholic. But there's nothing inconsistent with libertarianism and Christianity. And that's what was the big revelation for me, is that I could be both. And libertarianism is simply a political and economic philosophy. It's what should be the role of government in people's lives. What should government do and what should it not do? But then as a Christian, that's the personal choice that people make on how they should live their lives or want to live their lives. And libertarians say, well, people should be free to make those choices. But you and I have chosen to go the Christian route, and it makes life very fulfilling for me. And much more rewarding to live this kind of life. But as a libertarian, I'd never force that kind of life on someone else. If he wants to choose something else, that's his business. So that's you have a confluence between this political and economic philosophy of libertarianism with Christianity.
Well, I don't. You can't force Christ on anybody, but you sure are supposed to share the story of Christ and his saving grace and stand for his morals and try to make civil authority keep the morals of the law of God also. That goes to let people live their lives in freedom and a total self-determination as far as what to do with their lives. But we lost that. And now we talked in this article here about Vietnam. I had no idea. I really didn't. I really thought we were going over there to fight the Reds and we're going to save the nation. We're going to keep it from the domino effect that was taught to us. Once one nation falls, the next thing it's our front door. You made a very good point in this article, by the way, that we are now, as a nation, on very friendly terms with Vietnam. We lost almost 60,000 people over there in combat, not to mention, I mean, hundreds of thousands more, and they got home from suicide and Agent Orange poison and everything else. We lost all these young people, and nothing was changed. We would have had the same friendship with Vietnam, maybe even better, if we hadn't went over in the first place. So there was nothing gained with this except to line somebody's pocket and to be made a fool out of, so to speak, by the powers that be. But again, Jacob, we're fighting the battle of education here. And this article says it very clearly when the young man in the movie says, I'm proud I died for my country. I watched the movie myself twice. It tore me up inside because I lost friends in Nam. I did lose friends in Nam. And it broke my heart to know that what this guy was thinking, I thought I was doing the thing for my country too. Matter of fact, I still hear people tell me, thank you for your service. I want to correct them on that. I didn't do anything to serve this country. I didn't. I just obeyed orders, like any blind sheep would. Go ahead.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's one of my favorite movies. We were soldiers, and you know, Mel Gibson just does a fantastic job. Everybody in the movie, and it's just so heartrending. This depicted the first major battle between American forces and North Vietnamese forces, and it's based on a true story. And the superior officers of Mel Gibson, I think he was a major or something.
He's colonel, yeah, colonel.
He was a colonel. They send him into this valley without having real intelligence as to what they're facing, and they helicopter them in. They drop them there. And they capture a guy from the enemy forces, and it turns out they're facing this huge brigade-sized force, and they're like a company, or I forget what the difference was, but it was like a headquarters for the North Vietnamese Army. And they were surrounded, and they essentially had no chance at all, but boy, they fought viciously and ended up winning this battle. But there's that scene where the guy's dying, and the American soldier's dying. And you know, he's about my age at the time. I mean, I graduated from college in 72. And he says, well, at least I'm glad I'm dying for my country. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, my gosh. That was the mindset, Pastor Bush.
Yes, it was.
I mean, you were dying for your country. This was the indoctrination. It was all a lie. Now, there were people in the Pentagon and the CIA who believed this nonsense, that if we didn't stop the Reds in Vietnam, they'd be over here. But it's pure nonsense. And then you had the Pentagon Papers established. They started lying about the war. But 58,000-plus people died. Americans died. There was about 3 million Vietnamese died. But all for nothing. American soldiers died for nothing.
They did.
And and then so they end up losing the war, and the dominoes never fell. The Reds never got to America, and now we have this established relationship with this communist country of trade and harmony. Why couldn't that have been done before the war? What was the point of the whole war? As we all know, nothing has changed fundamentally. We've got the Persian Gulf War, the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War, the war on terrorism. I mean, and who does enrich? The defense industry, the Pentagon, the CIA, the NSA, the whole national security state, and their army of bureaucrats and military contractors. That's who benefits from all this.
Well, I remember the figures, right? Our men were outnumbered like 10 to 1. They had about 400 men in the U.S. battle, and around 4,000 better with the Vietnamese. But again, the profiteers profited, as always. The banksters, if you will, the drug runners, all those behind that profited. This was not a war to stop the Reds. This was a store to line somebody's pockets. And you look at the results of it, and I know you see this probably better than I do, Jacob. We are a communist country, and a lot has happened since Vietnam. We've been taken down with 9/11, taken down with COVID. We've been taken down so many different ways that people don't even understand what happened. And it's happened a lot in my lifetime. I'm 75 years old. Look back on it, I see now, through the 60s, whenever we started going to a total immoral abyss, we started going with all kinds of things in the 60s. Now we see what's happened today in the 2000s. Our nation has been destroyed from the inside out. Communism took over, but not with rifles. As Khrushchev said, we don't need, one day it'll take us over without firing a shot. And they did. It took us over with the idea of more socialist programs, as you mentioned about Roosevelt. It took us over with more ideas of man controlling our lives. You have to get a license, do that, license, do this. Everything's totally controlled from our money to our health. And that's just the way it is it not?
Yeah, I mean, they tell us that the big enemies, the official enemies, and they change on a constant basis, but currently the official enemies of the day are Russia and China and Iran. That's all bull. The big enemy for the American people is right there in Washington, D.C., with the federal government. That's what's taken us down from within. It's not these external enemies. It's the enemy within that is taking us down with their monetary debauchery, their out-of-control spending, and their socialism, and their welfareism, and their militarism.
And it's working. Folks, back at the break with your phone call next half hour, as always. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Again, we're talking to Jacob Hornberger. Don't y'all go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nevada Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nevada a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. And on the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we are back, and phone lines are open at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. I wonder, will we as a people ever get our eyes open to the fact that we've been enslaved and brainwashed into slavery? Now, I know for a fact that Jacob and I will not agree on every issue. But we definitely agree on the issue that we have been conned, through ignorance perhaps, into becoming voluntary slaves to a government that respects nothing about us except the milk to get out of us. When we're through milking us, they'll slaughter us. That's what this is all about. That's why they're trying to reduce population, because we're no longer useful to them when you reach a certain age. This is all part of the plan. If man provides your needs, he becomes your Lord. He obey him because you want to eat. We have become voluntary slaves. We sold our birthright for bowl porridge. So we cannot really say a lot except to try to tell people this is how we got here. And Jacob's doing his best to get people's eyes open to the fact that you don't serve your government by being killed in a war where we shouldn't be in the first place. He said nothing to do preserving our liberties. Our liberties have been gone for many, many years. It's now getting our eyes open to the fact that we're still sending, Jacob, young people to unjust wars all over the globe in defense of democracy. I hate that word, but that's what they say. That's what they call it. We're sending them all the globe, still caught up in unjust wars and false flag operations, in order to maintain the power and authority of more or less a centralized authority worldwide, aren't we?
Absolutely, and you've got this master government that essentially treats us like serfs or slaves, as you point out, or pawns on a chessboard, moving them around, sacrificing them when necessary. And they don't give a hoot for these soldiers. Soldiers are just pawns for them. When those 58,000 American men died, it didn't mean anything to the powers that be. And they come home, they get injured, and they're just cast aside, and they're not useful anymore. And what we need in this country, as far as I'm concerned, is a great moral awakening. And that's what they fear the most, that when people have a crisis of conscience, and they start doing some soul searching and saying, my gosh, why are we here at this state in our country? Why are we being taken down? And all of a sudden people achieve the breakthrough that you and I have achieved, and they start realizing that the problem is right there in our form of governmental structure, our type of economic system. And, man, that's what they fear. They fear a great awakening where the thirst for liberty spreads across this land quickly and suddenly like a wildfire. And then you're going to see some massive change. And that's why they try to shut people like you and me down, is that they don't want that to happen. That's why totalitarian dictators try to shut people like us down, because they know the power of ideas on liberty, and they know the power of God and the power of prayer.
Well, we you and I both know that the beast system is a build-up to the final world government to work with it. We call it the Antichrist system, I guess you don't call it that. I know you have read Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged. This statement's in there, and I thought this is really, really a very good statement. There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is to crack down on criminals. When there are enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime, it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking the law. Create a nation of lawbreakers, and then you can cash in on this, on the guilt. Now, that's the system. And that's what it boiled down to. We probably break laws every day, and we don't even know it. There's so many of them. That's what America's become. We're a very legalistic society. We're very a spiritual society in the sense that we are basically Antichrist. We come into a system now that all of us are expected to toe the line, keep your mouth shut, and just obey. And that's about truth, is it not?
Yeah, and I have read Atlas Shrugged, and it's a great book. Rand, unfortunately, was an atheist, but in terms of her political and economic philosophy, I mean, she wrote some great stuff, and Atlas Shrugged is right at the top. And there's a great part of that book where one of the government apologists says, look, we have all these laws because we want there to be lawbreakers, so we can go after them. This way, if there's all these rules and regulations and laws, everybody stays in line because they're scared. I mean, a good example is this, like the income tax. You've got this complicated tax system that nobody can ever comply with or know about, you know, all the provisions, but that's what they love because everybody gets scared of getting an IRS audit or an IRS prosecution, so everybody stays in line. Why all these CEOs of all these major companies don't say anything about these foreign wars, because they know the IRS can be sicked on them. And it's the same with the regulatory bureaucrats. Like you take bankers. Bankers don't dare criticize the government publicly because they know that those banking regulators come and shut them down. And that's what Rand was talking about, that when you live in a highly regulated, controlled society, everybody acts like little serfs. They may not be conscious of the fact that they're staying quiet and silent, but that's how you suppress speech in a highly controlled society like the one we live in.
It's a lot like the 501c3 church, same thing, controlled by the government license. But you know, you made a point there that Ayn Rand was an atheist, but it's amazing to me she could see this truth, and Christians either can't or won't see it. I don't know which, but shouldn't the Bible says we as believers should be the wisest people in the world as far as understanding what's going on. But as a whole, the church in America has become so ignorant and apathetic about what's happening that they're not getting involved in anything. They really think we can change this through a political system that's been failing us for at least 150 years. They think we can turn around without going back to the basics. And it's not possible, is it?
Well, Well, it's possible to do some soul searching and ask where we've gone wrong in this country, because we had some good founding principles of this country.
Yes, we did.
There were some bad ones, too, like slavery. But there were some good founding principles, and that's why I say it's time for the American people to stop dead in their tracks and do some soul searching here. And ministers are part of the problem. When I remember when the government was going to invade Afghanistan and Iraq, among the biggest cheerleaders were the ministers.
Of course, of course.
Pray for the troops and thank the troops for their service and all this. And I said, I thought to myself, my gosh, you're invading, like, especially with Iraq, which had no connection whatsoever to the 9/11 attack. We're invading this country. We're killing countless people. Most of the people we killed in Afghanistan were innocent of the 9/11 attacks. And you got ministers saying, oh, they're fighting for our country. They're fighting for our liberty. This is just a lie.
Yes, it is.
And I wrote letters to my minister saying, look, what are you doing here? How come we never pray for the victims of all this aggression? And, of course, I never got a response. But that's where we need the soul-searching, Pastor Butch, is within each American saying, look, what's going on in this country? Why are we where we are at today? Where did we go wrong? And I think if people would engage in that kind of soul-searching, we could get this country back on the right track.
Well, you know, the Bible talks about repentance. Without repentance, we cannot turn anything around. And the church, they didn't even know there's anything wrong. And I understand where they're coming from. I was on the other side of the fence at one time, too, Jacob. I was a pastor and a flag-waving patriot and all that. I understand where they're coming from. I didn't understand what would you and I see now. I didn't. It crept back in the early 90s, I was still mostly brainwashed. But when I started reading the scriptures, literally reading the scriptures and reading history, true history, I started realizing that we have allowed ourselves to be maneuvered into a, like loading cattle into a loading chute. We start out on one end of the field with all kinds of room. By the time we get our eyes open, we're almost down the chute in the back of the truck. That's what's happened to America. We've been pushed into this chute of idea of a narrow gauge view of what's right and wrong, depending on what we're told by the schools and the government. And that's how we've lost it all, because we kept our eyes wide open and walked right into the slaughter truck as a nation. Folks, the only way out is turn around. That's the only way back. Let's take a phone call. Let's talk to Joe right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you, Butch. You know, one of the things I was thinking about, and I love your guest for this, we do live in a communist country. But I always call the Democrat Party the American Communist Party, and the Republicans were the American Socialist Party. And every time that Donald Trump got up and said how great this democracy was, I mean, I wanted to puke and barf and just run and hide. Because people don't realize that man, other than being a narcissist, lied to the American people, and he was just as much into communism as his predecessor was. Any comment on that?
You want to comment on Jacob first?
Well, the way I look at the two major parties is they're really one party. They're the uniparty. I'll call them the welfare warfare party, and they divide into two wings. But that's like the NFL. The NFL divides into two conferences, but it's really one league. And so you've got one party divided into two wings that are competing for power and money. And it's a game of musical chairs. They one party gets control, and boy, they dip into the coffers, and they make a lot of money, and they expand their power. They suddenly lose the next election, and the other party comes in. But nothing changes fundamentally, because it's a bad system.
That's very true.
Love this bad system.
And, you know, I've always noticed, too, like the Republicans, they've had the House and the Senate and the White House since early 200s or 2000s, three times they've had it and did absolutely nothing. That's why I always say that the Republicans are the hear nothing, see nothing, do nothing, speak nothing party, which are the other branch of the Democrat Party. You're right, two parties, one party, two branches. And how long are we going to keep going on? I mean, people are going to keep believing that if you vote for a Libertarian or a Constitution or a independent, you're throwing your vote away, and how ironic that people can't figure out that that's just a big lie.
Well, you know, Joe, go ahead, Joe, go ahead.
Well, and it seems like that, because it's a big lie, people are willing to believe that. And the word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
That's right. So destroyed. You know, and Washington said in his farewell address that when you divide into a two-party system, you more or less you lost your country. He said that. He warned us about that. Because they apparently oppose one another. And I say apparently, but they really don't. They're both going down the same road. They just talk out different sides of the mouth. Is that a fair way to put it, Jacob?
I think it's a perfect way to put it. I mean, Joe's right. The Republicans have controlled both houses of Congress and the presidency. They didn't even abolish the Department of Commerce or the Department of Education, which they're always saying in their campaigns, oh, we got to abolish this agency or that agency. They didn't abolish anything. And it's all talk. And they talk the talk really great, but they can't walk the walk. And so we end up with this gigantic system that is taking the country down from within. And Joe raises a good point. Is it, you know, how do you stop this thing? And I think you stop it by a great awakening among the American people and doing what we're doing right here in the show. I mean, the way I figure it is if I could achieve a breakthrough, anybody can achieve a breakthrough.
I understand that. I do. I understand that.
Well,
anything else, Joe?
Well, if we can convince CNN or Fox and House News to talk about somebody other than a Republican and Democrat, we might have a real problem in this country.
Well, if we get it, yeah, that's a good point. And CNN and the rest of them probably don't get their eyes on that. A lot of them already know what's going on, but they're still buttered. There's bread buttered on a certain side, and that's where you want to keep it. Good. Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it. 844-7. You're welcome. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. And you would think, though, seriously, Jacob, you're not that far behind me in age. You would think that. If you and I certainly am not the brightest bulb in the house, but if my eyes could be open, there is no reason why the vast majority couldn't have their eyes open. But we've been taught and brainwashed for so long. My dad was a Democrat all his life, or at least most of his life. When I was a little boy, they would tell him that they would say, "Put your mark on the chicken," and Republicans would put your mark on the eagle. You were either Democrat or Republican. That's what you were, and the other side's totally wrong. Well, we've been sold that sewage for so long, we swallowed it. Now we believe it's real. That we clearly have two choices, and we just have one choice, and we get to maybe select one of them. But I do believe that elections today are now called C elections above everything else. What do you think about that?
That they're not what?
I think elections have become C elections.
Elections? I don't know what that means.
That means that they were selected before you voted for them.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm a native Texan. I mean, I know what when people say that elections aren't illegal or stuff in the ballot box. I mean, there was that famous Box 13 where Lyndon Johnson, who became president of the United States, stuffed the ballot box or had his cronies, the Parr brothers in Jim Wells County, Texas, stuffed the ballot box. And that's been proven. So nobody's going to ever convince me that all elections are honest elections. But really what we need to do is think not so much in terms of, in my opinion, of how to get better people in public office, because I don't believe that's a solution. The solution is to examine what should government do and not do. And if people have this awakening and they achieve this breakthrough and they say, let's limit government to its rightful role in society, it won't matter who you elect, because the government can't do good things for you or bad things to you. The government will be limited to protecting you from murderers and rapists and thieves and kidnappers and invaders and so forth, but otherwise leaving you alone to live your life the way you want. And if that's the case, you don't care who's in the office, because they don't have the power to do bad things to you or good things for you. And that's what I think we should be striving for, is a better system as compared to the system that we live under.
Well, that would take a major, major overhaul and a whole lot of people giving up what they call benefits that they've got used to receiving for many years. Again, you know, you've read the Bible, I'm sure, but Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. Well, America started doing the same thing, clear back under Roosevelt, for Social Security checks, and on. We sold our birthright as a people. We sold our liberties for a handout. Now, that's just the way it is. I don't like to say that, but it is the way it is. Every time you give up a responsibility, you give up a freedom. Whenever you depend on somebody to feed you, they more or less become your boss. And unless you want to go hungry, you obey them. And the nation as a whole, Jacob, has come to the point now that they are afraid to speak up because they're afraid they'll be shut down. And we see this under the idea of licensing. Businesses have to hire who they're told to hire. They can't be free to hire who they want because they may pull their licenses. 501c3 churches have a license granted with a tax number. If they get out of line, they'll pull their tax number. The churches never paid taxes. They were tax immune until Johnson came in 1954, about forth a 501c3 cause. So we've sold for permission to do what otherwise in the eyes of the government would be illegal. It's not illegal for me to hold a job. It's not illegal for me to open a business or get married. Why do I need license permission from the government to do any of those things?
You put it very, very well. I mean, that's why I say that government has become like a god to people. And they worship the god. They have their faith in this god. In other words, in a genuinely free society, your faith is in God and others. You don't need a coercive apparatus like Social Security because you got children, you got grandchildren honoring mother and father on a voluntary basis. You got church groups, charitable foundations, physicians that would help out the poor. I mean, I grew up in the poorest city in the United States, Pastor Butch. There was no Medicare at the time. Doctors' offices were filled every day with people who couldn't pay. Many of them were from Mexico. There was never a case where a doctor turned away a patient for inability to pay. They just did it because they believed it was the right thing to do. And they were still making lots of money. They were the second wealthiest people in town, second only to the oil people. But that's what genuine freedom is about, where people put their faith in other people and faith in God rather than the coercive apparatus of the state. The state has become their god, where, oh, we have to have Medicare, we have to have Social Security to take care of people. That's not what God intends. God doesn't want you to use Caesar to bring people to him. He wants the willing heart of the individual to come to him, and that's what freedom of choice is all about.
Well, brings right back down to the story, the article he wrote, We Were Soldiers, right back down to the idea that if they own us and control us, they have a right then to take our bodies and put us out in front of somebody with a gun trying to kill us by doing their bidding for them. As long as we trust them and put our faith in them, we're easily controlled. So if they keep us and feed us and clothe us, then I guess in a sense they do own us. You know, I raise a few head of cattle here in the hills of West Virginia. I take good care of my cattle. They never know that one day for too long they'll be in the freezer. They don't see it. They don't see that. They just know that I give them handouts and I feed them and take care of them. That's the way the American people are. They'll go right into the slaughter thinking that they're doing the right thing, even doing God's will. And this We Were Soldiers article says it very clearly.
I can't help but smile or laugh when you're talking about these cattle, using the metaphor of the cattle, because you're so right. I generally think of it as sheep. That people are sheep going in to be shorn by the masters, but it's also chickens. You could use chickens as a metaphor.
Yeah, you could.
Chickens get frightened, so they turn to the fox and say, "Mr. Fox, would you please take care of us?" And the fox says, "Oh yes, absolutely." So he puts them in a cage and locks the door. The chickens are all happy because the fox is taking care of them, and they start to realize that a few of them are disappearing each night.
Very true. Very true. Well, you've heard it said before, if you lack security, go to prison. You got three hots in the cot. You know, I mean, you promise something to eat and place sleep.
That's a perfect one. That's the state taking care of you. It's giving you food. It's giving you clothing. It's giving you a place. It's giving you a job. It's taking care of you. But who wants that kind of life? But that's the kind of life we live now.
Well, we got
welfare state.
We've got used to it over a lot of years and decades. We've got used to the idea we're kept well. Yeah, we're slaves, but we have a place to sleep every night, and we get to watch a ball game. Let's go to David in Alabama. David, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Butch. I hear your conversation tonight. I'd just like to remind you and others that the trouble with the United States and the world is not political. It is religious and it's prophetic.
Amen. It's spiritual.
And every nation has ran its course. And when a nation runs its course, there's no solution. You can't go to the poll and vote anything. But the way to find out old information is to find old books. I have a book here called Romanism, A Menace to the Nation, written in 1912. It said the Knights of Malta, an organization along with the Church of Rome, controlled the municipal, state, and federal government, and influences the business. Said if a Knights of Malta is a competitor, nevertheless, the fact that they're innocent, it says that if the Knights of Malta don't approve you for an election, they would even, if you're not a Knights of Malta, you can't even be a dog pound. You can't even work at a dog pound. The book says, but all books have those information in there, and most of the politicians, they are Knights of Malta. They belong to those secret societies that's controlled by Rome.
Well, a lot of it, that's very true in a lot of different areas. You're right on, David. And thanks, Carl. Got jumping. I got about 2 minutes left. Thanks for the call. Right on. Yeah, that's very true. We are controlled by many powers, foreign powers even. Most of the U.S. congressmen are dual citizens, Israel and America. This is all control, folks, always has been. But we're seeing, and David's right, without a moral compass, this nation can't be changed. You don't find a moral compass in the public school system or in humanism. You find it in Christ alone. The only thing, David, I've been married over 52 years. That's hard for me to believe that, but it's been that long. And the reason we're still married is not because I've been such a good husband and she's been such a perfect wife. It's because Christ was in our life. We surrendered to him before we got married and committed ourselves to him. Then we committed to each other and realized to be a true believer in Christ, we're going to keep the marriage vows for his glory. That's but the fact, is it not?
Well, I think that's an excellent point. But, you know, I would still say that if Christians would ever come to the realization that this political economic system we have, the welfare warfare state, the national security state, violates Christian principles because
Amen.
It's morally wrong.
Amen.
It violates the principle of freedom of choice. Of, you know, God wants us to come to him through the power of the cross. And that's the attractive power of God, that he attracts people to him. He doesn't want the government to force people to him. And if people ever come to that realization, Christians, I think we're going to see a major change in American society. But we need that crisis of conscience for that change to take place.
And folks, read Jeremiah 17:5 and Psalms 9:17. Jeremiah 17:5 and Psalms 9:17. Read it for yourself, see what the Bible says. We're about out of time. We're down about the last few seconds here. Jacob, thanks so much. I appreciate you joining me tonight. Thank you so much.
Well, the thanks are mine. This has been a nice discussion with you, Pastor Butch. Thank you for having me, and thanks for your listeners for listening in. And I'm very grateful, and may God bless your efforts.
We'll talk to you in the future, my friend. God bless you, too, folks. See you tomorrow night with a guest, Summer Dre. See you there. Bye-bye.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.